You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Big Ten college football kicks off this weekend. Saturday night on ABC, Jim Harbaugh brings Michigan to Minnesota in the battle for the Little Brown Jug. That's Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern. It's on ABC, and of course, you can see it on the ESPN app. We have a huge hour coming your way here. My friend D. Wood, so Stephen A. Smith is tweeting at you. Is that what I've got going on here?
Yeah, he's trying, man. He's trying to make, you know, stir some mess up this morning, but we're not having that.
Well, we will have a little response in our next hour as we come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you, as always, by Chase, Greeny, D. Wood, Jess Mendoza standing by. Tons of football to come. Let's go. Here it comes, because it's time to get up with ABCU in Seattle. Could the best offense in the NFC be about to add the best receiver in the sport? We're talking about it. Plus, Odell opens up about the critics and the state of his team. You don't want to miss the response he's going to get here. And then it is all square at the Fall Classic. Did the Dodgers make the same mistake the Yankees did, and could it cost them this World Series? We've got answers to those questions and many more as we get up with you, starting right now with Jessica Mendoza and the game of the night, Game 2 of the World Series. Rays, Dodgers, pick it up right in the first inning. Jessica, Brandon Lau has been ice cold, but they left him in there and he made it pay.
Yeah, Kevin Cash was questioned. Why even keep him still at the top of this lineup? This is why. He has been their best hitter the last 3 years. He was an all-star last year. Now he's proving it. The cold bat has woken up, Greeny.
He had been hitting 107 in the playoffs until that home run. And then Blake Snell just was dealing early.
Oh, his slider was nasty. That was against Mookie Betts. He was able to command his fastball. Also, the curveball got a ton of strikeout looking. Remember we talked about his command, 100-plus pitches the last two starts. He was a different pitcher going right at Dodgers batters.
Did not allow a hit through the first four innings. Meanwhile, Dustin May now on to pitch for the Dodgers facing Lau. Oh, and Jess, Lau does it again.
This is a curveball away. So you talk about breaking out a slump. It was one thing. Two home runs, both opposite field, shows you mechanically Brandon Lau doing everything he needs to do.
He's the first Ray ever with a multi-home run game in the World Series. Bottom five, Blake Snell runs into his first bit of trouble. That's Chris Taylor.
Yeah, this is the first hit of the game for the Dodgers. Remember how red hot this offense was in game one? Of course, it's the nine-hole hitter in Chris Taylor that gets the big hit. Of course, Corey Seager, the MVP, to keep it going. Another RBI. He has been on fire to get Snell out of that game.
Snell went 4 2/3, gave up two runs. Nick Anderson came in and got a big out, striking out Justin Turner, swinging to get the Rays out of the jam without further damage. Bottom eight, Dodgers down 6-3, but here they come, Corey Seager.
Oh, Greeny, this is when you felt like, here are the Dodgers. Here they come is right. Home run from Corey Seager. Talked about how hard he's been hitting the ball, the MVP, everything. This is to start off the eighth inning. Justin Turner follows with a double. You felt like this was going to be the thing, except Aaron Loop comes in out of the bullpen, strike three, sits down the hot bat of Cody Bellinger.
The Rays bullpen was clearly the story of the night, along with Lau's offense. They even up the World Series, hit a game apiece.
Just pure joy going into that dugout after hitting that home run. I mean, everybody's happy. Everyone's jumping up and down. You know, it's not an individual thing out there. It's everyone with the team and, you know, whatever helps the team win.
So just look at the numbers here. Life was good for the Rays. Last Tuesday, they were up 3-0 in the ALCS. Then in the past week, they lost 4 out of 5 and they went ice cold, striking out way more than they were hitting. And last night, they were finally able to cut down on the strikeouts and they had a lot more offense and they get themselves their first big night since October the 7th. And so they're now even up in the World Series. And so, Jess, what's the key? As you watched Tampa win last night, a game they desperately needed, what was the key to their getting back in this series?
It was that eighth inning, Greeny. We showed it with Corey Seager starting off with the home run. Justin Turner followed with the double. And this is their offense. This is what they do. This is their 2-3 hitters. But you know what Tampa does? They've got a bullpen. And they came in with Aaron Loop to get the big bat of Cody Bellinger. That was huge. And honestly, the biggest asset for Tampa Bay is that bullpen. Nick Anderson. These are their, they call in the stable of horses. Nick Anderson, Pete Fairbanks, and Diego Castillo are their three main dudes. By the way, Pete Fairbanks hitting 100 miles an hour to get Chris Taylor in a huge spot, but to close out the game. You want to see a nasty slider? Welcome to the stage, Diego Castillo. These three guys, Greeny, this is why they win games, and honestly, it's why they're here.
And now they get a day off, so that's obviously good for them. But the matchup that we're all waiting to see comes in Game 3 tomorrow, which is Morton against Buehler. As you see where the series shapes up right now, best of five, who has the advantage?
I think the Rays have the advantage in Game 3. I do think the Dodgers are the better team. I think they ultimately win the series. But Game 3 is advantage. Why? Because of Charlie Morton. He's got the best breaking ball in the game of baseball. He's been lights out in the postseason. And you think about the one weakness of the Dodgers offense. They are 5-for-25 against breaking balls in the postseason. That's huge advantage, Morton. I will say Walker Buehler on the flip side. Let's not forget, he has been pretty decent. He's the ace for the Dodgers, too. The best fastball you will see. But guess what Tampa Bay hits better than anything else? High-velocity fastballs. That's what Walker Buehler brings. Look at these numbers, though. This, to me, is the matchup because it's both aces, the two best pitchers, going head-to-head. Tampa Bay's best shot to win a second game.
And it's tomorrow night, and you'll hear every pitch on ESPN Radio. And Jess is doing the analysis there and then getting up with us every morning. Jessica, thank you so much. Get some rest tonight because you deserve
yes.
it.
Yes.
Meantime, to the NFL we go, where there is some news here, and it is big. Our Adam Schefter reporting the Seahawks are among several teams expressing interest in Antonio Brown, whose suspension is eligible to end after week 8. Sources say teams are positioning themselves to make a move so the wide receiver is ready to play as soon as he is reinstated. So Shefty is here. So walk us through the mechanics of this, Shefty. For Seattle or any team that's interested, this is week 7, the way we do the math here, right? He's eligible after week 8. So what would the timing on something like this look like?
Well, that's exactly it, Greeny. Basically, he's eligible to be reinstated after week 8. Now, again, there still is an open investigation against Antonio Brown in which the NFL can make a ruling at any point in time and impose additional discipline for sexual assault allegations. But right now, I think teams are operating as if there's a real chance that he could be available to play as early as week 9, which means that teams right now are in contact with Antonio Brown and trying to figure out whether or not they can make something happen. Now, the Seahawks are definitely one of those teams that's interested. Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, both Seahawks quarterbacks worked out with Antonio Brown during the offseason, have stayed in contact with him, remain good friends with him, and obviously would like to bring him to Seattle. I think he would like to go to Seattle. You could imagine what type of offense it would be if you mix in Antonio Brown with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and all the other weapons on that Seahawks offense. They become beyond potent at that point in time. Again, I think there are other teams that are monitoring the situation, expressing interest. My sense is, one way or another, he's going to wind up in the NFC. One way or another. We'll see how this plays out here over the course of the coming days and weeks. But it sounds like it's on a fast track to happen. And if you want to sign Antonio Brown, you better get him in next week to go through COVID protocols to be ready to potentially play in week 9.
That's an important point there. Yeah, you sign him. He still has to be there 5 days through the COVID protocols. That would be why Le'Veon Bell, for example, couldn't play this past Monday night. Let me bring the crew in here and let's find out if we think that this makes sense. Dominique Foxworth, I'm looking right at you. It's a very simple question. Should the Seahawks bring in Antonio Brown?
First of all, I'm not going to let Adam off the hook for that cryptic message right there somewhere in the NFC. You know something, Adam, and you're going to tell us at some point. But I don't necessarily think that he fits in at Seattle. I understand the strategy is like you just want to be overwhelming because they're not going to fix their defense with one player you bring in, but they could become an overwhelming juggernaut if they had AB. But there's still the problem of understanding his psychological state, and I'm certainly not going to try to diagnose him, but looking at his behavior, his public behavior, in the last couple of years, it seems kind of concerning, and it seems out of the realm of like normal teammate football player oddness. It seems to be a little bit more serious than that, and maybe he's gotten it under control, and maybe they know something in Seattle that can help him get it fully under control, but that would scare the hell out of me. If I didn't understand how we were going to tackle that, that's not somebody I want to bring into my locker room necessarily.
If you're a player on a team, let's say you're an offensive lineman on the Seattle Seahawks right now, are you thinking, oh, yeah, please, bring this guy in. Now, all of a sudden, we would have, without question, the best wide receiver room in the National Football League. Would you be, despite all of the questions, would you be in favor of bringing him in?
No. Listen, you're talking about a team in the Seattle Seahawks They're the number one scoring offense in the league. Mm. You know, that's not their problem. You know, if I'm a player on a team, I'm thinking the most important thing is, on a football team, is the locker room chemistry. I would be cautious about bringing in outside people to disrupt what we have going on. Clearly, their problems as it relates to the Seahawks is on the defensive side of the football. Why do I need to bring in another piece when we're doing just fine on offense?
Does it matter that the quarterbacks keep vouching for him? I mean, Brady wanted him in New England last year. That we all saw what happened there. And now Russell Wilson and Geno Smith, the backup quarterback, want him. If the quarterbacks want him, does that make you feel any way?
No, it doesn't make me feel in a way. Some, you know, as players, we want more. We want to try to get as many pieces as possible. But see, that's what front office is there for. The people who've done their due diligence, who've done the background work to really, you know, tap the brakes on some of these moves. Because as players, we want as many players as possible because that's just our nature.
Oh, it's interesting. Again, Shefty's saying that if they're going to, when a move is made, it will likely be made soon. And by that soon, that would be to think about next week. Because if he's going to be eligible to play and able to play in week 9, he's got to go through the COVID protocol. So this is something that could break almost any day now. Meanwhile, we're just getting this hour started. I'll tell you what, for a 4-2 team, do the Browns ever have issues? Find out what's got Odell Beckham unhappy now, and our guys have their share of thoughts. And then Stephen A. let D. Wood have it on Tuesday for his Cowboys take. Well, today D. Wood gets his chance to respond. Don't miss it as we continue. Get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, back to the NFL and the Cleveland Browns. Yesterday, Odell Beckham was asked about his sideline outburst at the end of their blowout loss to the Steelers over the weekend. Here's what he had to say.
I'm pissed. And at this point, I really don't care to keep trying to make myself look like a good guy into the world and all that, because I am who I am. I got pulled out of the game. The coach said this was the best decision. You know, it's 8 minutes left. And for me, I'd rather take my open like a man. I'd rather take my win the same way. I want to be out there to the last whistle competing, tired of losing to good teams, and just ultimately want to win. And one day, when it's all said and done, we'll all clearly see that. But in the meantime, while we're in it, I'm sure we won't. So I just keep pushing forward. It's not going to bother me anymore.
Wow. So that's an Odell we haven't heard from in some time. D. Wood, if you were his coach, Kevin Stefanski, and you were watching that, what would you say to him?
Bro, chill. Like, yeah, everyone here wants to win. There's no question about that. Odell's a hell of a player, man. But at the same time, we're 4-2. We have bigger problems than, you know, just you and trying to feed you the ball. Our quarterback is clearly not playing well. We're able to run the ball, but our quarterback is not playing well. If the quarterback's not playing well, guess what? Can't get you the ball. So, yeah, that's frustration. You got your teeth kicked in by your rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I get that. But right now, what we don't want to do is compound situations by you having these outbursts. It's just not productive for anyone.
Nick, you look skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, that seems unfair to do that to Odell. I think the reaction is because it's Odell saying it, because I feel like that's the exact sentiment that you want the guy to have. He didn't say anything about wanting the ball. He said that we got to get this right. I'm tired of losing to bad teams, and I'm sick of trying to make people happy. Let's focus and do the work. Like, it seemed like a lot of what Lewis was saying earlier, it seemed like the same sentiment. That's what I got out of that. That was something that I would say, I wouldn't be upset at him. I'd say, all right, we got a team meeting on Monday morning. Say that to everybody else, saying that I want to be out there and take my ass whooping just the same way I want to be out there winning is the sentiment that I would expect that I would want a team to have. That's the stuff that you build, in my view, that's the stuff that you build a winning culture around. When your team leaders, your best players, your prima donnas, so to speak, your receivers are out there with this type of attitude, like, that's encouraging to me. That seems like what I want my team leaders to be saying. You don't have to say it to the media, but say it in our locker room and get us all on the same page.
Nick, let me tell you something, man. Maybe I'm just, you know, I came in a different culture, man, but I don't need to say anything. I don't need any type of team meetings or anything. Like, you've been a part of these team meetings where everyone has a whole lot to say and they end up backfiring. Yeah. I don't need to hear any talking from anyone. Okay, you just got your teeth kicked in. Show me, okay? Show me on the practice field. Show me on game day. That's the only thing that I want to see. All this talking and stuff, you can cancel that. I don't want to hear anything like that. That's all I'm saying.
Let me get Lewis in. I'm curious to hear his perspective. Lewis, I haven't had a chance to check in with you so far in this hour. You hear Odell? You hear these guys? What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. You know what? I think, Dominic, I think what he said was, I'm tired of losing the good teams, actually. And that is the most important thing that I think he said right there, because that kind of like builds off of what I was saying earlier about Cleveland. That being that, remember, it transformed from hope to expectations now. And the expectations are that you're not going to just beat the Dallas Cowboys and run the ball for 300 plus yards against a team that right now is totally reeling and doesn't know what's going on. We want to see what you do against the rivalries, against the top-notch teams, against the blue bloods of the NFL. And that's what he was talking about when he said, look, I'm tired of losing the good teams like this. Because what he's saying is, I know that in order for us to get the respect that we need to get and that we're searching for, we need to beat good teams and we need to beat them consistently. And I want to be out there helping do that. And even when we're not doing those things, I still want to be out there. Don't save me. Don't try to protect me. I'm willing to go ahead and sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice in order to help us get to where we want to get to. That's the frustration I sense coming from him, that he wants to be a part of it in good times and bad. And that, look, he was asked the question here. He wasn't going out there saying, hey, look, I need to have the ball more. I need to do this more. Y'all need to do this for me and do this for me. He is recognizing that the reason why they're not getting respect is because in moments like this, they're not performing and they're not getting the job done. And he doesn't want to be someone who is kind of like exempt from the criticism. He's saying, look, keep me out there. I'll take my butt kicking along with everyone else. Because until we beat teams like Pittsburgh, until we beat them consistently,
right,
we're not going to get the respect that we deserve. And he's right. He's 100% right.
And the one pushback I will have against you, D. Wood, is that I agree with you. Do the work. The work is the most important thing. But it's not either or. I think the words that you say have value because of the work that you've done. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter so much exactly how you phrase it or where you phrase it or who you say it to. It matters who is saying it. And if he is someone, which we all understand, has always been passionate, always works hard, always puts it out there, if he says something in a meeting room, it carries different weight. So I agree with you. Don't come out there just talking and don't follow it up with some support. But everything that I've heard about him suggests to me that he is someone who works his ass off. And if he does that and he comes in and follows that with the words, that to me has value. And that's how you, that's part of how you build a culture and organization.
I have to run to a break, but the one thing that I keep thinking is, this is sort of the downside of having all these stars on your team. You have so many players mm-hmm. who are so famous mm-hmm. that everything they say becomes yeah. news. And right. sometimes when things aren't going well, that can really be difficult for a team. I have to leave it there for the moment. Speaking of players that are famous on teams, Zeke said the Cowboys players need to hold themselves accountable for their poor play. We'll explain exactly where the blame lies in Big D. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN. Well, there's a lot going on, but right now I insist we talk about golf because, D. Wood, I want you to watch Gritty, the legendary mascot of the Flyers, swing a golf club. Look at this swing. That's a pretty good swing.
That's really good.
You know what's better? The celebration. Watch this. You know he's a hockey player. That's a hockey player swing. The hockey players are all good golfers.
They get it in a lot, don't they?
They're all good golfers, yeah. And I love the celebration. I'm going to use that next time I make a long putt. All right, there's plenty of time to think about who to blame in Dallas for all of their issues. We will point the finger as we continue next. Get up on ESPN.
I mauled my opponents, made them tired, take them down. Smell them.
I enjoy with my opponent.
Please tap. Just please tap.
These guys don't matter.
What time is it?
Just tell me where.
Khabib is trying to smash his face.
Let's talk now.
He is a monster.
Only one king in the jungle.
Only one king.
UFC 254 Saturday special early time. Unbeaten Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Justin Gaethje for the undisputed lightweight championship. Prelims start at noon Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+. The main card is on pay-per-view at 2 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, back to football and to the Dallas Cowboys, where clearly there has been nothing but conversation about how badly they have played and the internal bickering that we've seen. Zeke Elliott, after 2 fumbles and a bad Monday night loss, had this to say about all of the criticism.
You know, just kind of need to keep that type of stuff in-house. At the end of the day, everyone in this building needs to, you know, take take a look in the mirror and figure out what they could be doing to help this team win. So just everyone look in the mirror and looking and see what's been going on and fix that, and then we'll all be better.
Lewis, of course, you had the game the other night on Monday night, so you saw it all and you're aware of all the circumstances that are there and you see where they are. Where in your mind are the Dallas Cowboys right now?
Yeah, they're in trouble. There's no doubt about that, and they have a lot of work to do. And look, Zeke is right. It's going to start with the players, and it's going to start with a guy like him who knows this. Anytime he has the ball in his hands, he carries the fortune of the entire franchise with him. And he let them down. They were building a run-centric game plan in that game Monday night to take some of the pressure off of Andy Dalton. They were going to put it on Zeke's shoulders. And he turned the ball over. And we know that you lose the turnover battle in the NFL, you're probably going to lose games. So there's no question he has to look at himself. The big three at wide receiver, look, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, they can't drop passes. They have to make unique plays. They know they're going to have to be special the rest of this year. They know that. They have no margin for error. Simple as that, because the offensive line isn't very good. Andy Dalton is going to need some time to get comfortable. So they know that they're going to have to be big-time playmakers. But all that being said, on the defensive side, they are in big trouble. They just are. Because there is validity to the fact that, yeah, they have some personnel issues. Yeah, the defensive line isn't playing up to par. Yeah, the linebacker situation has not been great. Jalen Smith has not been consistent. Leighton Vander Esch just came back in the Arizona game. But I'll tell you this, from a run-fit perspective against the run, from a schematic perspective, and from a discipline, eye control, understanding where your help is, understanding what pattern matching is supposed to look like, and preventing big plays in the secondary, it's as bad as I've ever seen. And that's just being blunt. It's as bad as I've ever seen. And that falls on the coaches. And they're going to have to get that corrected to help these players out. Otherwise, this team, this season is absolutely just going to go, it's going to implode like it already is, and it's going to get worse. It's as simple as that. So it's a total organizational failure that they all are going to have to pick up the slack right now.
That's well said. And it's a fascinating circumstance, but I'll keep saying this. In almost any other circumstance, we'd be talking about what are they going to do to build for next year. This is a first-place team based upon the division. So, Dominique, you hear what Lewis just said. What can they do to make that defense better? What do the coaches need to do? What do the players need to do?
Yeah, I think that the first it needs to start with stopping the run, and that's not something that we talk about very much in modern football because most teams understand that it's more efficient to throw the ball, but it's only more efficient to throw the ball if you're not getting 5-6 yards a carry when you're running the ball, and that's a problem. So first you need to stop the run and convince the secondary to go ahead and let them catch things in front of them and tackle them. Like, they need to start there. Slow these offenses down and don't give up big plays, whether they're big running plays or big plays in the pass. Keep everything in front of you. Make tackles and follow your responsibilities. This is the reason why Lewis said that things could start to get worse is because people start to try to recover and cover up for other mistakes. And they start getting out of their gap because they don't trust that their player, that their teammate is going to do the thing that they're supposed to do. And all that does is make bigger and bigger problems. And then when people are talking in the media, that just snowballs also. They're in a very, very bad situation where a couple more losses or a couple more bad showings will really send this team over the edge. And I don't think they're going to win that division anymore.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, again, they lead the division by half a game over the Eagles, who play the Giants tonight. Shefty, we've been down this road a million times with different teams where all of a sudden there's anonymous chirping in the locker room and all that kind of stuff. Where do you think it goes from here in Dallas? What are you hearing from the people you talk to?
Well, first off, that's a bad look, a bad look. When you've got players talking anonymously about a coach, a staff, as much as we love anonymous quotes and anonymous information, that is just unacceptable in an organization. And an organization that's trying to turn it around here and compete in a division that's just ripe for the taking. Beyond the anonymous quotes, you think of this team, and the offensive line for years was its strength, and Lou mentioned that it's struggling right now. So the offensive line that once leaned on Tyron Smith can't do that. He's gone. Lael Collins, gone. Travis Frederick, gone. Zach Martin got hurt the other night with a concussion. So all these people that really helped spearhead the success of this team, they're gone. They're turning over the football. That is such a basic thing in football. They are losing fumbles the way that Zeke did on Monday night, and they're not getting any turnovers on defense. What do? I don't know. You just continue to try to work to turn it around. You do what Dominique said. You stop the run. You stop turning over the football. You get healthy, and you hope it gets better in a division that's been bad, that's there for the taking.
And we'll see, again, that division is back on TV tonight. We'll see the Giants and the Eagles and see where it goes. Meanwhile, it is now time that we let our friend Damian Woody respond. In case you were not with us, earlier in the week, this was Stephen A. Smith sitting right here talking directly to D. Wood.
Do you know what happened to me a couple of weeks ago? The Dallas Cowboys lost, and I was trolling them naturally.
Yes.
And when I did that, do you know who actually had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to pick up the phone and call me and FaceTime me?
Oh.
Damian Woody, because his wife wanted to get at me. Wanted to get at me. What? Those Cowboys. You'll wait, Steven. You'll see. You'll see. I didn't hear from the Woody family last night. I couldn't find them. I couldn't find them. Is the APB out for Mr. and Mrs. Woody? You understand what I'm saying? I couldn't find them.
So that was Tuesday. And then this morning, D. Wood was watching. Stephen A. was watching when D. Wood went off on the Cowboys, and he said, I'm watching you on Get Up. I appreciate your passion, but make sure to remind the world you picked them to win the Super Bowl last year and fix your damn tie. So, what would you like to say? I'll give you 45 seconds. You'll be our first on the clock. Your chance to respond. D. Wood, the floor is yours.
Well, first of all, Stephen A. Smith, how dare you? How dare you talk about me and my wife? Why, I'm not even in studio. You gonna bring up old stuff. It wasn't even my fault that happened. Literally, she took my phone and called you and FaceTimed you to talk smack, okay? I'm trying to stay out of the Cowboys situation, and then you gonna bring up last year when I picked the Cowboys. That was last year. Now you wanna try to bring it back into 2020. I don't have anything to do with the Cowboys in 2020. So next time you have to address me, you address me in studio, not when I'm here, and definitely not with some damn shades on when you're talking to Swag Goo, okay? Don't do that anymore. If you got to address me man to man, face to face. You heard me?
Well done. Well done. We'll work on the tie after. Meanwhile, let's get Lewis Riddick. He's up next. Lewis, you have got the Bears and the Rams coming up. There's nothing better than when Lewis laughs. The Bears-Rams is your game on Monday night. 45 seconds. I know you're looking at the tape. What is the most important matchup in your mind to watch for Monday Night Football, Lewis?
Yeah, just listening to Woody, man, I lost my train of thought, man. You know what? But you know what? I'll tell you what. In this game, I think what I'm looking for is, look, I'm looking for this offensive line for the Chicago Bears to have to step up against a fearsome Rams front four led by my guy Aaron Donald. Because look, I know this, Matt Nagy right now is staying up at night and losing sleep trying to figure out, how can I make sure that he doesn't wreck my offense from the inside out? I got to keep Nick Foles from being hit. He's been hit a lot. He was hit a lot against two of the best defenses in the NFL when they played the Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And although they won the Buccaneers game, they really got manhandled against the Colts and guys like DeForest Buckner. So I think that's what I'm watching. If they can keep him clean, they will be in this game. If they can't, 99 is terrorizing him. It's going to be a long night Monday night.
Aaron Donald actually leads the National Football League in sacks. I was looking some stuff up this morning. 7.5 sacks. He is that leader. Okay, Shefty, to you here, because there was a story yesterday about the Las Vegas Raiders and their offensive line, and I'm trying to follow it, and you're the man with the information. What is the latest there, and what does it mean for their game against Tampa this weekend?
Well, what it means is Trent Brown, their right tackle, was placed on reserve COVID-19 list, and he has been sent home. He's tested positive at this point in time. Out of an abundance of caution, there's that phrase again, the Raiders have sent home their entire starting offensive line, which had been in close proximity to Trent Brown on Monday. Now, they have to go through 5 days of testing here, and we'll see whether any of them come up positive. But the Raiders right now have a big question mark, essentially aside their entire offensive line in relation to Sunday night's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And again, I think it's a situation where they're expecting those starters to be back, but you have to see how those tests come back this week.
And they will find that out when? That was the question I couldn't get to, is can they come back in the building today? I couldn't make up my mind from what I was reading.
It sounds like they could be back later this week. It sounds like there'll be some testing. It sounds like they'll miss some practice time, but sometimes there are false positives. Again, I think it's later in the week, Rooney, on those other offensive linemen that were sent home.
That feels important. I mean, it's the entire starting offensive line going into a big game this weekend. Okay, so we'll stay on top of that one because that's an interesting game and obviously a very big story. Now, let's turn back to the biggest game of the weekend, in my opinion, which is Steelers-Titans, both unbeaten in the AFC. Yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger was talking about facing the Titans in Tennessee, where he has always struggled. Listen to what he said.
But I remember playing these, playing Tennessee. In Tennessee is always so tough. I've never really played well there. It'll be different, obviously, to go back on the road. It's been week one. I'm not sure how many fans they're allowing in. I know there's some there, but that was always a big part of playing there. Was it always felt like it was cold, and always felt like the fans were really rowdy. So it'll be different this time. But they're always a good team at home for sure.
Right, he's right. He has struggled there. He's 1-2 all time in Nashville. In those three games, he's thrown 4 touchdowns. He's been sacked 11 times. He is right now having a huge year. He's thrown for 11 touchdowns and just 1 interception. And this is a statement game. But I'm just trying to find someone who will finally listen to me. Dominique, I'm going to come to you. I have been saying since August, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best team in the National Football League. Everyone was making fun of me then. Is anyone willing, Dominique? Are you willing to say it now?
I'm willing to jump on that bandwagon with you. However, Patrick LeVon Mahomes scares the hell out of all of us. So, I mean, the Chiefs haven't played all that well so far this season, but I think that's what slows everyone down from jumping on that undefeated Steelers bandwagon with that great defense in a year where it seems like no one plays defense. The Steelers are one team that plays defense and has a quarterback with Super Bowl pedigree and seems like playmakers at every offensive position and a solid offensive line. It's hard to argue against them, and they seem to be getting better every week. So I think you're probably right. They're the best team in the NFL, but I'm still scared of Mahomes. Aren't you a little bit?
Of course. Everyone is scared of Mahomes. The best team doesn't always win, and sometimes the best quarterback winds up winning. They were fortunate to win the Super Bowl last year. They had the best quarterback, and they came from all of these deficits. But, Lewis, they have a coach that you trust. They have a quarterback that you trust. They all of a sudden have found a superstar receiver in Chase Claypool. And of all the contenders, they play the best defense, and it's not even close. That's why I keep saying it.
Yeah, I think, and also what you were banking on was the fact that Ben Roethlisberger was going to come back 100% healthy, although he said that he was ready to go and that he'll remain healthy. And as long as he does, look, I think we've seen already like the influence that franchise quarterbacks, Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks, have on everyone else and how it lifts everybody else. You think Ben not being back there isn't having everyone else raise their game? Of course it is. And that's not to say that these guys aren't talented, because they are. But when he's there, everyone else is like, Seven's here, we're good, let's roll. And that's how it goes. And that's why you were just sitting there holding your breath going, as long as his elbow is good and he can stay on the football field, we've got a shot here. And you're right. Chase Claypool has been playing at, I remember seeing Chase Claypool down at the Senior Bowl, seeing him at practice and standing next to him as they were going through individual period. And it was him and Denzel Mims and Antonio Gandy-Golden, all these big receivers. And I remember looking at Chase Claypool like this.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
And I was like, oh my God. And this kid, I mean, he's tearing it up. And you know, on the defensive side, you know Mike Tomlin's going to have them right. You know Minka is playing out of his mind. And you know TJ and Bud. I mean, these guys, I mean, they're legit. They're going to be right there. But don't forget number 15 of the Chiefs. Yeah, just don't forget.
No one is in any way taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes. All I'm saying is, if you look at the teams from top to bottom, and the Chiefs, if you watch the Chiefs play this year, let's see what they are with Le'Veon Bell. Really quickly, D, what are your thoughts? Pittsburgh.
Oh, absolutely. Pittsburgh is definitely going to be one of those teams right there with the Chiefs and the AFC. I mean, listen, last year, I mean, this was a team that was, what, 8-8 with the starting quarterback. They were on their third quarterback, and they still were 8-8. So imagine now you have a guy in Ben Roethlisberger back. Now, it all depends on, his, you know, just staying healthy. But with Seppin back there, I mean, absolutely.
They still got to beat the Ravens, though.
8-3 last year. They were 8-3 last year in games in which they scored at least 11 points. 8-3 in which they scored 11 points. They picked up right where they left off. This is the team to beat. All right, got to take a break. We will come back and talk about those Kansas City Chiefs, because the rich are getting richer this weekend. Neek will dissect how the Chiefs can use Le'Veon to make their offense even more potent. And then it is the return of a get-up classic, D. Wood and the Helmets on the way. Don't miss it. Big Ten college football is back, kicking off this weekend, Saturday night on ABC. Jim Harbaugh bringing Michigan to Minnesota for the Little Brown Jug. That's Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. We on Get Up are with you for the next 10 minutes, commercial free, and then First Take takes over. Would AB help or hurt the Seahawks in their quest for a title? Stephen A. and Max will debate that and so much more on First Take. They are exactly 10 minutes away. Again, we're with you commercial free until then. Look at D. Wood. He's studying up on his form, because he's got large mallets and he's got small helmets, and he's going to crush a few of those as we continue in just a few minutes here on Get Up. But in the meantime, let's talk about this man. Le'Veon Bell had his first practice with his new Chiefs teammates yesterday after signing a one-year deal with KC after being released by the Jets last week. When asked about the decision to join Kansas City, this is what Le'Veon had to say.
You know, when I had the opportunity, you know, once I was, you know, a free agent, you know, talking to Coach Reed, just over in that course, it's like, it was just kind of undeniable to try to come here, help this team, you know, any ways that I can help them out. You know, being an opportunity to play with Coach Reed is just going to be, you know, magnificent for me. So play with these players around, Patty Mahomes. I never played with a player, you know, MVP wise, you know, so it's going to be fun. You know, I think it's a lot of weapons. It's going to be fun for me.
Okay, obviously a lot of weapons. So the question is, just specifically, how might the Chiefs use Le'Veon? Dominique, I know you have some ideas.
Yeah, so I think having depth at the running back position is important, but what Le'Veon does that's special is he's able to line up in a slot formation. So the Chiefs only ran 21 personnel 16 times. So you guys can roll the tape. Now they can run 21 and spread Lev out and put him in the slot and attack linebackers in man coverage. Right here, this is a pass I can see Mahomes making. And if the team checks to a zone, which they do in this situation, Le'Veon Bell can still get around them and make damage behind the linebackers and in front of the safety. These are all easy passes for Patrick Mahomes. And not only does it allow Le'Veon Bell to make big plays, it also allows other guys to get key matchups. So if you imagine you go 21 personnel with Kelce at one side and you flex Lev out into the slot on the left, then who are you going to guard? Who are you going to double? You still got Tyreek Hill on the outside and Mecole Hardman on the other side or Sammy Watkins running deep. I know they had a ton of talent before. Now it gets even scarier for someone as versatile and dynamic as Le'Veon Bell.
You know, the Chiefs obviously have been very good this year, Lewis, but they haven't looked most of the time as like the unstoppable offense that we sometimes expect them to be. How much better do they become with the addition of Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I think they stay fresh in the backfield now, and they take some of the pressure off of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And this is really what they wanted at the beginning of the season before Damian Williams opted out for 2020. This is kind of what they wanted. They wanted it to be by committee. They wanted it to be a rotation of two or more guys in the backfield. And when Damian opted out, then a lot of the onus fell on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And they now, when they have Le'Veon Bell in there, it gives them a bigger body, number one, on short yardage goal line type of situations, because Lev can really, he can pound it in between the tackles. And as Dominique pointed out, he is a threat out of the backfield as well. So in certain situations, it's going to make them even more multiple with a bigger body. But Clyde Edwards will still continue to be the primary ball carrier. And it just gives them another thing for Andy to go ahead and say, I have another player here in my arsenal that I can scheme things up for. And they will hit their stride as they hit the back half of this second of the season. And look, I wouldn't worry about them at all right now. They're kind of finding their way through this season. The offensive line is going to continue to play better. You saw how they won the Buffalo game. You saw how many times they ran the football. That was a message Andy was sending not only to his football team but to the rest of the NFL. We don't just throw the ball over the yard here because that's the only thing we can do. Let me show you just how multiple we can be. And we have another big back coming who's also a good receiver out of the backfield. So they're going to be just fine. They're going to be as scary as ever once we hit the home stretch.
And Le'Veon will be motivated. One of the things I think people look at him and think he has lost a step or maybe more, he wants to show everybody it was just how bad the offense he was in was and play for a contract for next year. So let's see what Le'Veon Bell is able to bring. Meanwhile, the NFC East is back in the spotlight tonight, and that is, candidly, just a terrible division. They have a combined winning percentage of under 23%, second worst by a division at this point of the season since the merger. According to FPI, the NFC East has a 66% chance of being won by a team with seven or fewer wins. It's a divisional weekend here. Washington hosting the Cowboys. Dallas has allowed 218 points. They've committed a league-high 15 turnovers, so they've been terrible. And again, the Giants and Eagles tonight. It's only the second time in the last 40 years the Giants and Eagles will meet, with each team owning a win percentage of 250 or worse, 25% of their games or worse. And yet, so much is at stake. That's what we keep saying. These teams all have to be thinking to themselves, I can still win this thing. And so, Shefty, as I come to you, one of the big factors in Philadelphia clearly has been injury. So yeah. What do we know about who is and who isn't available for this game tonight against the Giants?
Well, the encouraging part for the Eagles, Green, is that they get back DeSean Jackson, their wide receiver. They will have Lane Johnson in the lineup tonight. They will not have Alshon Jeffrey. Lost Zach Ertz for high end. So there are moving parts here, but I think that they feel excited about the fact that they get back to DeSean Jackson and Lane Johnson. While you see the lengthy list of players who will be out tonight and miss probably an extended period, keep in mind they play next week again, and then I think have a bye. So that'll be some time for some of these players to get healthy at that point in time, but there will be some help coming tonight.
All right, so we will see again the Eagles and the Giants kicking off the NFL weekend tonight. Meanwhile, in the moments that we have left with you here, this is a staple. Now, we haven't been in our studio much, obviously, and we haven't had a chance to have some of the fun that we usually like to, so we wanted to break this one out. It is a Get Up Classic, Big Man, Tiny Helmets. We're going to pick some football games with D. Wood, and we are standing 6 feet apart. Okay, first matchup is the Seahawks and the Cardinals. That's this one here, so I'll get out of the way. Seahawks and Cardinals. D. Wood, smash the helmet of the team you believe is going to lose.
Yeah, Greeny, we're talking about a battle of the NFC West right here between these two ball clubs. The Seahawks are coming off a bye week, so they should be getting a lot of have a lot of guys that they should be getting back healthy. We know the Cardinals came off of demolishing those Cowboys that I went off on. But I'm going to have to smash. I'm going to smash the Cardinals here in this tightly NFC West battle. Listen, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, the hottest offense in the National Football League. I think they squeaked by the Arizona
Cardinals. I'm with you on that pick. All right, the next game is John Gruden's current team against his former team. We have the Raiders and the Buccaneers on Sunday night.
Yes, so the Las Vegas Raiders, another team coming off the bye week. They should be getting a lot of guys back. I know Adam referenced the whole COVID situation with Trent Brown and the whole offensive line being sent home. That worries me. But to me, it's about Tampa Bay, particularly their defense. Todd Bowles, to me, has just been maybe the best addition of any team this past offseason. As far as the coordinator is concerned, that defense is playing lights out for Tampa Bay. So I'm going to smash the Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, and I damaged the table.
No, you almost damaged the host. That flew right over my head. I actually heard it land behind us. The Buccaneers, in my view, in the same way I said the Steelers are the team to beat in the AFC because of their defense, the Bucs are the team to beat in the NFC. People just forget that defense is half the game, and they are playing great.
They are absolutely playing great. They are one of the more complete teams in the National Football League.
Okay, so we've got the Seahawks standing over there. We have the Bucs standing over there. Then how about the big game in the AFC? This is Steelers-Titans Battle of the Unbeaten.
Now, this is just old-school smash-mouth football between these two ball clubs. They're both, you know, they both like to run the football. They both play really good defense. Ryan, you talked about it, referenced it earlier in the show, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, they're the best combo in the National Football League between quarterback and running back. The Pittsburgh Steelers on defense, they probably have the best defense in the National Football League. Big Ben got a trio of wide receivers that he can go to. I'm going to go get a slight edge to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
My God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is not a game over here, Greeny. I'm going to get a slight edge. Hey, watch this shrapnel out here now. I'm going to get the slight edge to the Pittsburgh Steelers because, again, they are the more complete team in the AFC. I think they slow down on Derrick Henry somewhat and put it all on Ryan Tannehill, and I think they eke out a win against the Tennessee Titans in Nashville.
Can we get the wide shot of that again? That one actually hit the Jalen Rose thing.
Oh, did I? Wait a minute. I didn't mess up my guys.
I didn't mess it up.
Okay.
I just want to get a sense of how far that went. That actually hit the Jalen Rose thing. Okay, one more thing before we go, because some things sometimes can be therapeutic, right?
Yes.
We've both had a tough year. You played for the Jets.
Yes.
You still love the Jets.
I do.
I root for the Jets. Everyone associates me with the Jets. It's been a very difficult year. Do we have a Jet helmet?
You know what, Greeny? I know we've been talking about games, but sometimes you just got to put it out there just because.
Yes.
You know, of the Jets, they've just been atrocious.
Yes.
They've been awful to look at.
Yes.
And anyone who follows me on Twitter sees my frustration watching the Jets. I know you're a huge Jets fan.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do it this time.
Okay.
I'm going to let you do it, Greeny.
Right. Why not? I'm a little nervous. Here we go. You ready?
Come on. Greeny, you hit the table. You missed the whole thing. You hit the table. Greeny.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. That was just about as awful as I expected it to be.
No coordination.
We are done. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.